Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Lamidzayin. Today's daf is being studied L'Ainu Nishmat Hayim Ben Sara, Mr. Victor Shem Tov, Alav Shalom. Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenehem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting today on daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, and we are three lines from the bottom, starting from the first one on the line Adrabba. Let's just review where we're holding in the sugya. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that held of the principle of Berirah. Berirah manifested itself legabe Eruv in a case where on Erev Shabbat one set an Eruv on the east side and on the west side, anticipating that the rabbi or a rabbi was going to show up on one of the sides. And then when Shabbat came and the rabbi surfaced on, let's say, the east side, so the fellow said, Yehe Erubi l'mizrach, I want my Eruv to be on the east side. Now, the way that works technically is that retroactively we say that when he put the Eruv down on Erev Shabbat, Ben Hashem Ashot, that was the Eruv that kicked in. Now that principle is called Berirah. Berirah means it became clear retroactively what the intent was or what happened. Now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda agreed to the principle of Berirah. He just said that he argued on Tanna Kamma in one scenario. If you put the Eruv on both sides and one of the sides, your rabbi comes. Not a rabbi, but your rabbi. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, automatically, it's assumed that the Eruv on the side of your rabbi kicks in, and therefore, that's the side where you have your Eruv, and the other side, no. The rabbis of the Mishnah argued on that. And they said, no, even that, when your rabbi comes, it's not always Peshut that you want to go to greet your rabbi. It could be you want to greet your colleague who was on the other side. Therefore, still he has a decision to make on Shabbat, and then through Berirah, retroactively, the Eruv that he picks will kick in. We then saw in the Gemara brought a Braita in the name of a rabbi called Ayur, who quoted Rabbi Yehuda to clearly say there is no Berirah. Meaning he gave a case where the rabbis are coming from both sides. He cannot say on Shabbat, I want my Eruv to be on that side or on the other side, because that is Berirah. And the only case that Rabbi Yehuda was matir, that the Eruv would be an Eruv, is if the rabbi already, from before Shabbat, was within the Eruv already, meaning he was in the 4,000 Amah area where the fellow was allowed to walk, so then already, Eruv or Eruv. Because in that case, you're not using Berirah. That case, when you find out that the rabbi was on the east side, for example, that is just a Gilui Milta, which means the Eruv kicked in on Friday when it was supposed to, not retroactive. You just found out when he was within your Eruv. You're not using a retroactive Birur. So basically, the Gemara wants to say, we have a contradiction between the Braita of Ayur, that states the Biyuda does not hold of Berirah, and our Mishnah that says the Biyuda holds of Berirah. So in yesterday's daf, the Gemara wanted to say, letad lematnitin. Our Mishnah, we don't go like, we go like Ayur. So today's Gemara is going to say, why? Maybe we go like our Mishnah, but we don't go like Ayur. Which means the two Tanayic statements. So why did the Gemara prefer to take Ayur that says Rabbi Yehuda does not hold the Berirah, take the Mishnah that says Rabbi Yehuda holds, we do say Berirah. Again, they're both Tanayic statements. So the Gemara says, Adrabba. leta l'de'ayo mimatnitin. On the contrary, the Gemara says, let us say we do not hold of ayo's statement in light of our Mishnah. Gemara says, no salka da'tach. We never think that. Why? Because we have a clear statement, it's actually a Mishnah, that's going to tell us Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Berira. So since he doesn't hold of Berira, it makes more sense to keep Ayur's statement of Rabbi Yehuda and reject the Mishnah's version. Where do we see Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Berira? Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Halokeyach yayin miben hakutim. Talking about a person went and he bought wine from the kutim. Kutim were those converts that we said eventually the rabbis put a gezerah on these converts because they really weren't so legitimate. They put a gezerah of tum'ah on them. That she tells us we're talking about over here where you took wine from them, and this is before the gezerah that the rabbis put on their wine. Eventually the rabbis put a gezerah that if you buy wine from a kuti, that's like buying yayin from a goy. But this is talking about where before that gezerah was enacted. And since the kutim, stam kuti does not take teruma, so therefore you have to assume he didn't take teruma and maaser, of course. And we're talking about the guy does not have other kelim to put the teruma and the maaser in. So again, he went to the kuti, he bought his wine. He has to take terumot and maasrot, because the kuti doesn't take, but he can't put the teruma in anything. So he has to figure out a way to take teruma and maaser while it's all in the same barrel. So is there a way to do that? So the Gemara says, Omer, he says, Shne lugin she'ani atid lafrish harehin teruma. He says, two log that are in this barrel, I now designate them as teruma. Which means, the teruma, we say, is 2%. So let's say he has 100 in the barrel, okay? So he has to give two log. So he comes along and says, two log that are in this barrel that'll remain after I finish drinking, those two are going to be considered teruma. So the teruma is floating somewhere in the barrel now. Then he says, asara ma'asir rishon. Then he says, 10 log of what's in the barrel is going to be considered ma'asir rishon. Tisha'a ma'asir sheni. And then left over from that, 10% would be 9, would be for ma'asir sheni. Umehel v'shote miyad. Now, the ma'asir sheni, what he can do is, he can immediately take a coin and transfer the kedusha of the ma'asir sheni that's in the barrel to put it on a coin. And then, already it's considered Hilul, it's considered transferred. Now it says Vishote Miyad. He's able to drink immediately. Now what's the logic of Rabbi Meir? Obviously you're working over here with the principle of Berira. Because retroactively we say the 2% that was left over at the end, that was the Tiruma that you designated. Because as he's drinking, we're not gonna say he's drinking Tiruma. So you have to say, whatever he's drinking is considered holin. But once you get to the end of the barrel, the stuff that's left over, we say that's the designation that he made at the time when he said 2% is teruma, 10% is ma'asir rishon. So the fact that we allow him to drink it, and we consider it mi'usar already, that's already a din in berira, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoseh, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. So you see clearly, Rabbi Yehuda is part of the group with Rabbi Yosef and Shimon that say Asur. Why Asur? Because they don't hold the Berira. So if you don't hold the Berira, so then you cannot say that the leftover at the end retroactively is the Tiruma that you designated. This type of separating Tiruma is not going to work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Beferush Mishnah that says Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Berira. That's why we're going to take Ayo, who also has Rabbi Yehuda, not with Berira, against our Mishnah. So comes the Gemara and says,
Ula Amar, Ula says, Leta le'ayom imatnitin.
Ula says no. The Mishnah is the Shitab Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't take ayo. So what do you mean? We have a clear Mishnah, we just quoted by Tiruma, that says, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Berera.
And Gemara says, Ve'elaha diktani Rabbi Yehuda, v'Rabbi Yosef, v'Rabbi Shimon Osrin, Ula, Zuze, Zuze, Ketani.
Well, some read that Zuge, Zuge, meaning the opinions were said in pairs. And read it like this.
Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda, comma, Rabbi Yosef v'Rabbi Shimon Osrin.
Which means you read the Mishnah wrong. Don't put Rabbi Yehuda on the side of the Osrin. Put Rabbi Yehuda on the side of the Matirin, meaning put him with Rabbi Meir, and read it Zuge Zuge, meaning pairs and pairs, two pairs. You have Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda, and you have Rabbi Yosef with Rabbi Shimon. Put Rabbi Yehuda on the Matirin, and therefore, comes out, we have a Mishnah by Erubin that says Rabbi Yehuda holds of Berera. We have the Mishnah by Tiruma that says Rabbi Yehuda holds like Berera according to Ula. And you have Ayyo. So therefore you have two against one. So therefore we're going to leave Ayyo's Braita, and we're going to take the opinion that indeed holds Rabbi Yehuda says Yesh Berera. So there's two ways of learning. Either you reject the Mishnah in light of the Mishnah in Teruma, and you learn the Mishnah in Teruma that Rabbi Yehuda is with the Osrim, or you learn like Ula that you keep our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda yesh berera, and you put Rabbi Yehuda with the Matirim, and therefore you would not go with Ayo. So comes the Gemara and continues.
Gemara says, "Vesabar Rabbi Yosef en berera."
Now the Gemara goes on to the next Tana. According to everybody in the Mishnah and Teruma, Rabbi Yosef clearly was part of the Osrim. Right? He held, you can't do this Teruma, floating Teruma, and say the 2% is in there and the 10% is in there, and then retroactively, you can eat it now and retroactively, whatever was left over. You can't do that. In Berera. So the Gemara is going to challenge that. Now where's the Gemara going to challenge that? Gemara is going to ask a question in the law of Kinim. What is Kinim? Kinim literally is birds. Halakha says that after a lady gives birth, she has to bring korbanot. Ehad le'ola, ve'had le'chatat. And it could be two birds. Let's say, shnei b'nei yonah, two doves she brings to the Beit HaMikdash. But we have a law that says that when the Kohen brings the korban, he has to bring it l'shem, the lady. Which means he cannot bring a korban of another lady for a different lady. You have to have l'shma. He has to bring it l'shem, the lady that gave it to him. Now, we're going to discuss a case where two ladies gave birth, and they pool their birds together, and they go to the Kohen and deliver four birds. Well, he has to bring two for Ola and two for Hatat for the respective ladies. Now, what the Gemara is going to say is that they gave it to the Kohen, and they told him, you bring it, you handle it, you bring the Korban. So what do we say? We say that he can bring any of the four, one for Korban Ola, and one for Korban Hatat, and retroactively I say that the one he brought was belonged to the lady that gave it to him. Which means there's four, you don't know who owns what. They all own everything, they're partners, they bought everything together. So I say that he brought the Korban of Ola, I'll say it belongs to the lady that gave it to him for Ola. And brought the Khatat, it belongs to the right lady, so therefore the Korban is Lishma. Now that's using the principle of Berera. Or for that matter, let's say they came to the Kohen, they gave him money. They didn't bring the birds. They actually gave him a stack of money. Go buy four Korbanot for us. And if they pull their money together. So we say Berera. When he goes to buy the Korban, I come along and say, that was from the money of that lady that gave it to you, and therefore you're bringing the Korban for her sake. That's also Berera. And who holds of this? Rabbi Yosef. Ah, we have a contradiction. Because you just told me to be your sisters in the case of Tiruma. You can't have the floating Tiruma. Because in Berera, now you're telling me what, by the case of the Kinim, that they give him all four, and the Kohen can do whatever he wants. We say, Hubrara davar lemafleya, that the one that was given by this lady was the one that the Kohen brought for that lady. Let's read that inside. Gemara says, Vesabar bi Yoseh, in Berera, vehatenan, Rabbi Yoseh omer, shtei nashim shelakhu et kinehem bi'iruv. They bought both their, the kinim can be their nests that have the birds in them, bi'iruv, meaning b'shutafut. They bought a partnership. They went partners in the four birds. Or shenatno kinehem lakohen, or they gave the money. The Gersa changes it, demekinehen. They gave the value of the nests, of the birds, to the Kohen. Ezehu sheyirtze Kohen yakrib ola, ud ezehu sheyirtze yakrib hatat. So the Kohen can bring whatever he wants. He can bring hatat, he can bring ola, meaning, he can bring one nest, two olas, another nest, two hatat, which means he doesn't even have to bring it the conventional way, where you'd say, well, one nest all belongs to one lady, and one nest all belongs to the other, therefore he has to bring one in one korban ola, one hatat in this nest, and then one from the other, and one... No, he can even bring from one nest that has two birds in it, both olas, and from this one, both hatat. And we say again, what? Retroactively, the one that he brought for that lady belonged to that lady, and therefore the korban is brought, lishma. Look at that she. Le'eze. Le'eze mina kinim shiirtze bet peredot yakrib olot l'shte nashim ve'et kana ehad yakrib shtehen hataot l'shte nashim. Which means that she's telling you the hidush. You can even bring from one nest both of them for ola, and then from the other nest both of them for hatat. Ve'kol sheken im ba lehalek kol kan vekan, or the most if he wants to split each kan amongst the ladies, peredal le'ola, peredal le'hatat, teshapir dame. Good, then it's okay also, because it's more mistaber that each one is giving a complete package, meaning a hatat and a ola in the nest itself. But then she says he can do whatever he wants. He can even bring two olas from one and two hatats from the other. Almana, she says, midekamar shimutar likach kinehem bi'iruv. The fact that we let the ladies pool the birds, right? They could buy them together. Now, that means they went to the store and they took their money. Let's say the birds are worth $50. Each one gave $50. And now they bought the birds together. So who owns which bird? Well, it's together. They bought four birds together. So we say, l'mafreya, the one that the Kohen brought, l'shem, this lady, that was hers. That's the one she bought. Because the Kohen cannot bring lady number two's korban for lady number one. That's not going to work. So you have to say that, we'll say the one he brought is the one she owned. So comes the Gemara and said, Rashi, I'm sorry, continue Rashi. Michlal, diyesh berera de amrinan, hubrar hadavad, shizua pereda shekriv lishma, shilzu shelahi. The one that he brought for that lady, it is hers. Deshem ba'alim ba'inan. Because you need, when it comes to the Qurban, it's got to belong to the lady, to the ba'alim. Now, di'en berera, because if you're not going to say the concept of berera, ika lebimar hatat ve'ola shekriv la lo shela hayu, ela shel haberta. Right? If you don't say berera, I said, who says? Maybe the korban that the Kohen brought was actually from the money from the friend. And the halakha says, if you bring a korban for A that belonged to B, doesn't work. And the Gira, she continues, the korban ekrib b'shilui b'alim. You change the b'alim. Then he quotes the Gemara Pesahim that says, the korban is invalid. So therefore, Rabbi Yoseh, it seems, does hold of Berera, because he's the author of the Kinim case. Gemara's answer is three lines from the bottom. Amar Abba, hatam kishihitnu. That's the case we're talking, where they made a condition. What does it mean they made a condition? Hitnu. Let's see.
First wide line in Nashim, Kishetnu Hanashim Benehem, Shekol Mishi Yakriva Kohen Lishma Yeheshela.
That she says, the ladies made a condition amongst themselves before they brought the Qurban, and they said, listen, whichever one the Kohen brings, that'll be yours. So they stipulated from beforehand. Comes all the Rishonim and ask on Nashi, that's still Berera. Which means, what do I care if they stipulated before? Bottom line, retroactively, the one that the Kohen brings is the one that they bought. I mean, you're still working with the principle of it. What do I care? They came along and stipulated, okay, the one that the Kohen, it's just they're speaking out Berera. The one that the Kohen brings, that'll be mine. That's exactly what Berera is. So they stipulated Berera. What? When you stipulate Berera, that it works? What's the difference? It's still got to work. That whatever one the Kohen picks, because it's not defined yet. It's not defined yet. So whatever one he picks, we will say, that is mine. That's Berera. So the Rishonim have different ways to answer it. The Ritba'a here has an interesting interpretation to explain how it's working. He says like this. Yeah, they pulled their money together and they bought the kinim. They bought the four birds. But the stipulation that they made is like this. Neither of them is going to make a kinyan in acquisition on any of the birds. Which means the kinyan, the acquisition of the birds, is going to hit once the Kohen decides which bird. This is for Lady A. The kinyan will take place at that moment. And therefore, it's not the explanation that they bought it, they made a kinyan, it's theirs. And now, retroactively, whatever the Kohen decides will say, that's the one that she owned. No, everything is happening when the Kohen brings the Korban. And therefore, it's not retroactive, it's all in the present, which means the kinyan of the bird and the hakraba of the bird is all happening simultaneously. So therefore, it's not retroactively, we'll say, you bought that one. And buy anything. At the time I'm giving it to you, it's four birds that we're partners in, but we did not officially make a kinyan on the bird. So therefore, it's not my bird or her bird. It's not that we own four birds, so to speak. And therefore, we say like this, we're suspending our kinyan. Our kinyan is not going to hit until the Kohen brings it. Now, when the Kohen brings the first bird, the Ola, at that point, that lady now has a kinyan on the bird. At that point, it's not retroactively. See, till now we're learning what? We say retroactively. When she bought it and made the kinyan, that's the bird of Lady A. That's going retroactively. Here we're not saying that. Since they suspend their acquisition, so to speak, and they say, we make a condition, we don't own anything over here. We just bought it, we're giving it to the Kohen, it's with our money. When the Kohen brings Korban, let's say A, for Korban Ola, at that point, the Lady A's kinyan kicks in. Therefore, it's hers, and therefore, not that retroactive when she bought it. No, the kinyan takes place now, and therefore, since they made that condition, it is not, says the Ritva, subject to the laws of Berera. Berera is a principle where you say what happened then is defined later, or what happened later defines something that happened before. Here, nothing happened before. There was no kinyan taken by it. They told the Kohen even, listen, we suspended our kinyan. Whichever one you pick, that's the one I own from now, at that time, when the Kohen brings it. And therefore, in Berera, comes the Gemara and says, Ihache Maile Mimra. Gemara says, well, what's the Hiddush in this case over here then? Which means you're just telling me a simple scenario case where you bring the Qurban to the Kohen, you made a condition with him, you're not using the principle of Bidira. Why is this case even a Hiddush? So Gemara said, there is a Hiddush, according to Rav Chisda. Kamash Ma'alan, because Rav Chisda, we're coming to teach you the principle of Rav Chisda. The Amar Rav Chisda, in hakinin mitparshot, ela I belekihat ba'alim I ba'asiyat kohen. That's a hiddush over here, the way the kinim work. In general, not only in this case, a general principle in how the birds work. He holds that the the designation of the different birds can happen at one of two times. It can happen at the time that the ladies buy their korbanot, and therefore this is belongs to Lady A, this belongs to Lady B, or even in a case where there's one lady. You don't even have to say a case of two ladies. The Hasdah said his deen in all cases. A lady buys the korban, so she designates, let's say, this is for her, right? Or the designation can happen at the time the Kohen brings the korban. He has kavanah, he designates that this is for Lady A. Now, it cannot happen in any other time. And therefore, let's say, let's read Nashi, and you'll see the scenario that's the Hiddush. Bottom Nashi on the Daf, Kamash Malan Kedaraf Hazda. Sha'afal Pi Shaya Kol Kan Vekan Vifne Atzmo. Now, each Kan, each nest had two birds. They were each individual. Ela Shelikuhim Biyahad. Right? In this case, they were given together. I would have thought right? Like I said earlier, we would have thought that maybe the Kohen can only bring one kan hatat ola, the other kan hatat ola, meaning separate the nests. Right? I would not think that he could do two olot from one kan and two hataot from another kan. Right? Because I could argue and say, no, they didn't give it to him like that. If they gave it to him in nets, it's already prepared, this is for one and this is for the other. We don't know who is who, but it's a set. Kamash ma'alan? No. Kamash ma'alan, the Kohen could do whatever he wants. Why? Because since they didn't define it, when they gave it, it wasn't defined. So who gets to define it? The Kohen at the time of the Haklaba. Therefore, let's say they gave it to him. Okay? They bought it as a pool. They bought it together. They give it to the Kohen now. The Kohen decides at the Haklaba, I'm bringing these two from one nest, Hatat, and I'm deciding to bring these other two for Ola. He has the ability at the time of Haklaba to decide which one belongs to whom, meaning he's able to bring it for whatever lady he wants. Now let's say in the interim, the ladies themselves say, you know what? I want one of those nests to be Hatat and Ola for me, and the other one says, I want one of those nests to have Hatat and Ola for me. It means nothing. Rav Chazda's Hiddush is, if you didn't stipulate that at the time of the Nikiha, you're over, your designation. The next stage for that to be done is by the Kohen at the time of Akraba. So therefore they could be saying, no, we want one nest for one lady and one nest for... Too late. That's Rav Chazda's Hiddush, meaning once they give it to the Kohen, they now do not have rights to decide which bird they want it to be. Because the designation either happens at the time of Nikiha, or it happens at the time of Hakraba of the Kohen. And therefore, as she says, and we continue, Kamash Ma'lan, Kevan Dilo Akbi'inu Behedya B'Sha'at Nikiha. Since they didn't explicitly designate it at the time of the taking, lemor to say peredazu halbredazu ola afilu kabum la halikiha. Even if let's say they designated it after they purchased it, yachol kohen laasot kemoshi yirse, the kohen can do whatever. So that's the solution the case. Meaning, even if they designated it after they gave it to him, their designation is not worth anything. Now, how did Rav Chazda know that those are the two points? At the time of the Nikiha of the ladies, or at the time of the Hakraba of the Kohen, where the designation of the Kinim take place. So he quotes, that she actually quotes for us, Pesukim. If you look on the Amud Bet, look at the second Rashi on the Daf, O Ba'asiyat Kohen, Aval, im lakham stam, ve'ahar kach kala alehem shem, en ha'shem hal alehen, ve'yachol ha'kohen l'shanotam. Which means, if they bought it at the time, they bought the korbanot stam, they didn't buy it l'shem, let's say, one of the ladies, and they give it to the Kohen. The Kohen is able to decide which one will be for which lady. How does he know that? Vikra darish, that hazda.
Actually, Hafazdal learns this from Pesukim. What does it say in the Pesukim? Ve'lakeha shete torim o shene b'nei yona ehad le'ola ve'had le'hatat.
That shows you the lekiha of the ladies can make it hatat and ola. Because the Pasuk says, ve'lakeha, she will purchase them, or buy them, or take them. Ehad le'hatat ve'had le'ola. Now how do you know the Kohen has the right? Uchtib gabe Kohen. Ve'asa ha-Kohen et ha-ehad hatat ve'ehad ola. He also has the right to make it Ola and Hatat. So therefore you see there are two stages. So the Hiddush of Rav Chisda is once she gives it over, once those ladies give it over and they didn't specify, they lost their right to specify. Now the Kohen, at his time, he decides this one is for this lady, this one is for that lady. Even if they now explicitly say what they want, it's too late. The lishma has to take place at the time of the nikiha. Meaning they have to say, this is the hatat, this is the ola. If they didn't make it explicit, then the kohen already has the right to make it at the time of the hakraba. Comes the Gemara and says, ve'akateh still. Meaning, what are we doing here with Rabbi Yosef? We're dealing with Rabbi Yosef here. Rabbi Yosef, we quoted him in the Braita and the Mishnah of Terumah, that he said, in berira. You can't have the floating terumah in the barrel. Good. We thought we had him with a question in the case of the birds. We said, no, that's not berirah either over there. There is where they made a condition, they stipulated from the beginning that whatever the Kohen does is going to happen at that time. That's not berirah. Good. Still, we found another statement of Rabbi Yosef that seemingly he holds yesh berirah. So that contradicts the Mishnah of terumah. So the Gemara says, "Ve'akateh still, sabar Rabbi Yosef en berira." You want to tell me that Rabbi Yosef says en berira? Can't be. Ve'atanya, we learned in a braita, Amaris she'amar lehaver. You have an Amaris told a talmid chacham, "Kach li aguda ahad shel yarak o gluska ahad." Talmid chacham is going to the fruit store. So the Amara says, listen, pick up for me a bunch of vegetables. Or he's going to the bakery. He tells him, pick me up a loaf of bread. Okay? Now the problem is, so he gives him money. Okay, so now the Hacham goes and he buys a whole bunch for the Amara and himself. So now he has his stuff with the Amara stuff all mixed up. Now, he's going to have to give the Amara his portion. Now the problem was like this. When he's giving him a bunch, well, whose bunch is that? All the monies were mixed up over here. Could be he's giving him his Amaris portion, which means if I say Berera, I will say the stuff that he gave the Amaris really was always belonged to the Amaris. It was never the Tamid Hakam's, and therefore the Tamid Hakam is not obligated to take Terumot and Ma'asrot, because we're talking about whether Haver bought it in a fruit store that belongs to an Amaris. And therefore we know that Amaris are suspicious on taking Terumot and Ma'asrot. So therefore the guy went, Hakam went, give me 10 bundles. Now one of the bundles in there belongs to the Amaris. Now if you say Berera, I will say the bundle that he gave the Amaris that he told him to buy it for, I'll say that's the bundle that belonged to him from the beginning, and therefore the Haver is patur for giving to the Motan Masrut. I don't have to give Masir on something that belongs to a Ma'aris, but if you don't say Berera, then already I say like this. I say, could be when I was giving him that bundle, that's my bundle. Which means, the way it's going to work is, I'm giving him one of my bundles, and he's going to let me keep one of his, but I'm giving him one of mine. If the Tamid Hakam is giving his, he must take Terumot and Ma'asot before he gives it to the Amaris. So this question over here, do you have to take Ma'asot on the bundle that you give, is going to be dependent on the Machloket of Berera. So let's read that inside. I start again from the second line. Ve'atanya, we learned in the Braita, Am Ha'aris She'amar Lehaver. The Amaris tells the Hakam, Kahli aguda ahat shel yarak. Go buy for me a bundle of vegetables. Or gluska ahat, right? Or a loaf of bread, we'll call it. Eno sarich la'asir. The Tamir Hakam, when he gives it to him, does not have to take ma'asir divrei Rabbi Yosef. Must be why, because Rabbi Yosef says, yesh berera. Because I'll say, the bundle that he gave him is the bundle that he bought that belongs to thee. I'm the artist, therefore I'm giving him what belongs to him. It's not the pshat that the Hakam is giving his bundle to thee, I'm the artist, because then already he would be hayav to give ma'asir. And who says that? The Hakamim Omrim Sariq La'asir. Oh, so we see there is an opinion like that. Since the Hakamim hold in Berera, so the pshat is when you're giving him that bundle, it's really your bundle. A Tamir Hakam cannot give an Amaris from his stuff without taking Masr, because the Amaris doesn't take to the Mutan Masrut. So when Hakam gives it to him, he has to make sure he gives it to him corrected. So therefore Hakamim say they would have to take Masr. So basically what do you see? A contradiction in Rabbi Yosef. By Tiruma, Rabbi Yosef said what? In Birira. By the case of the Amaris with the Haver, we see Yesh Birira. So the Gemara says Ipuch. You're right, switch it. Make Rabbi Yosef the one in this braita that says you have to take ma'asir, and make the Hakamim the one that says you don't have to take ma'asir, meaning switch the shitot around. And indeed, Rabbi Yosef the braita holds in Berera. Comes the Gemara and says, oh, we have another question. Tashema. Ha'omer, a guy says like this, ma'asir sheyesh li bebeti mechulal al sela sheta'ale biyadi min hakis. A guy comes along and says like this. He has ma'asir sheni in his house. Okay, he wants to redeem it. Meaning transfer the kedusha of the ma'asir sheni to a coin. The guy has 10 coins in his pocket. So he comes along and says like this. The first coin that I pull out of my pocket, that's the coin that I want the hilul of ma'asir sheni to go on. Now, if you're going to say it's considered a good hilul, you're obviously working with Berera, because he had 10 coins in his pocket. Which coin was the ma'asir going on? So I say, retroactively, when he takes out that coin, I say, that was the coin that he was talking about when he said it before. Right? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Omer Mechulal. Clear, Rabbi Yosef says, it's good. Obviously, yes, Berera. So the Gemara answers to that, Ipuch. You're right. Switch that one also. That's not Rabbi Yosef. That's the opinion of Hakamim. And really Rabbi Yosef will say, Eno Mechulad, because in Berera. So let's see what we did over here. Let's see what we did. We have three statements of Rabbi Yehuda. We had a statement by Teruma that clearly said Rabbi Yosef holds in Berera. We had two statements that held the B.O.S.A. says Yesh Berera, but we ipuch them, we switch them. So now the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. The Gemara is going to say, why switch the two in the face of one? On the contrary, the majority of his statements held Yesh Berera. So therefore, he puked the Mishnah for anything, which means instead of you're taking the Mishnah Teruma as that's the Shita, and you're switching everything else to conform with that. On the contrary, keep the statements that say Yesh Berera, keep the statement of Yesh Berera, and then change the other one. So the Gemara says, Ema Ipuk, okay, Gemara says, Ipuch, Ema Rabbi Yosef Omer Lo Chalev. Fine, that's the Ipuch. Meaning, say Rabbi Yosef says it's not considered a halul because there's no Berera. Umay Hazit De Apacht Tarte Mekamehada. Why did you see to switch two statements in light of the one statement of Teruma? Ipuch Hada Mekameh Tarte. Switch the statement of Teruma and say that Rabbi Yosef really says the Teruma is a Teruma. Yes, Berera. And finish, all these statements are good. Gemara says, Havadai Ipcha Tanya. For sure, at least in the case of the Ma'asir Sheni, for sure the Rabbi Yosef holds, it's not considered a Hilul, it's not considered a redemption. Once already we're going to prove to you that that's clear, that he holds in Berera, so then you have two. You have the Mishnah of Teruma that says in Berera, you have the Braita of Ma'asir Sheni, that there's no Berera, therefore we're going to have to switch the third one as well, meaning with the Haver buying the vegetables for the Amaris. Now how do we know for sure in the statement of Ma'asir Sheni that Rabbi Yosef says in Berera, so he says, Diktani Sefa, because it says at the end of that Braita, right?
Umodeh Rabbi Yoseh. Rabbi Yoseh agrees. Be'omer ma'aser sheyesh li betoch beti yehe mechulal al sela hadasha she'ta'ale biyadi min hakis she'chilel. The end of the statement says like this. But Rabbi Yoseh agrees that if the guy says, my ma'aser sheni is going to be mechulal on a new coin that I take from my house, then already he agrees it is mechulal. Now we'll get to the details of the case in a second. Let's get to the technique for here. For the fact that the Biyosei gives a case that says it is mechulal, in this case the Biyosei agrees it is mechulal. Meaning when he says the Ma'aseh Shni will be redeemed on a new coin that's in the house, implying what? That the case before he must have held Eino mechulal. Meaning the case of the many coins in the pocket, he held in Berera, and therefore it's not considered a Hilul. Meaning from the fact that the end of that statement gave you a case and said, but in this case it works, implying that what? In the last case, it didn't work. So for sure the Biyosei must hold in that statement that what? In Berera. So comes the Gemara and says, from the fact that he holds Hilul works in the case of the new coin that's in his house, good, mashma, then in the first case when he had the many coins in his pocket, therefore, let's just finish the thought, therefore ipuch that statement and say lo hilil. So you have a case of en berera in the case of the maaser sheni with the coins. You have en berera in the case of the floating teruma. That's two statements already right there. The third braita, which is the case of the Amahar is going to the Habit to buy the vegetables, will ipuch that to conform with the other two that we have established already. Now the Gemara wants to understand, what's this case of the new coins? Why does a new coin make a difference? So the Gemara says, Hai sela hadasha hechidame. What's this case where the Gemara says that if it's a new coin, the Biyosei agrees, it's going to work. If it's talking about where in his house he has two or three coins that are newly minted, diyesh berera, and that's the case of berera. I mean, the new coin that I pick up, that's where my hilul is going to be. That's a classical case of berera. Hainu kamaita. We already discussed Rabbi Yosef's opinion in berera in the first case, and we clearly said in berera. So if there's two or three coins on the table, that's Berera, and we know the Biyosei does not subscribe to Berera. Isn't that the first case? The first case with the three, and you had not new coins. You had three coins in his pocket. Why did he say no Hilul? Because when you take out that coin, we don't say that that's the coin that was designated retroactively. So therefore, we know in cases like that where there are many coins, the Biyosei says, in Berera. Also, you tell me, oh, the case of the new coins is we have three or four coins on your table. Why? In that case, the Biyosei is going to say, yes, Hilul? How can it be Hilul? It's the same thing. It's the same principle of Berera working over here. You know, when I go home, the coin that I take that's new on the table, I pick up, that's the one that's going to be Hilul. Isn't that the same case of the three coins in the pocket? What's the difference between three new coins on a table in your house or three coins in your pocket? If the Biyosei says in the Resha in Hilul, then there's no Hilul in this case either. So that cannot be the case. So Gemara says, Ela Delek Ela Chada. You're right. You know what the case was? He has one new coin in his house. A very simple case then. All the guy said is, that's not Berera for sure. The guy says, the ma'asishni that I have now, let it be mechulal on the new coin that I have in my pocket. Okay? Let's say my pocket, the same case. Doesn't matter, pocket, house. So the Gemara says, my ta'ale. So now the Gemara says a question like this, because if you look at the lashon of the braita, it says, the new coin that I pull out of my pocket. Now, pull out is mashma that there's a few coins there. If that's the only coin, so that's it, that's the coin in your pocket. When you say the word ta'ale, it's mashma that you have a few new coins, and so amongst them exactly, and then with the one I pull out, so the Gemara says, why would it say if it's only one new coin in his pocket, why would it say the word ta'ale? So the Gemara says, "Aidi de tani resha ta'ale, tani na tana sefa na me ta'ale." You're right, it's just consistency. Since in the first case we had many coins in your pocket, we used the word ta'ale,
the one that comes out amongst the many coins. So even in the case we had one new coin in your pocket, we also use the word ta'ali, even though it is not accurate. So therefore, it is clear, according to Rabbi Yosef, he holds en berira. And therefore we will ipuch two statements, and we have the Mishnah by Teruma, and therefore lemaaseh Rabbi Yosef is the opinion of en berira. Now the Gemara comes along with some other cases. Comes the Gemara and says the following. Amar le Rabba le Rav Nachman. Rabba tells Rav Nachman, man haytana da'afidu b'drabbanan let le berira. We have an opinion of a Tana that says even on a rabbinical law we don't say berira, which is very mahmir. Even on things that are d'rabbanan we don't go with berira. So Rabba asked Rav Nachman, who's the author of that opinion? And then he gave him the statement. What is the statement where we see even on rabbinical law you don't say berira? The Tanya. Amar l'hamisha. A guy tells five people, Hareni me'arev al eze mekem she'irtze. He comes along and says, listen, I'm putting an eruv down in this spot. I'm having one of five of you in mind. I'm not telling you which one. But the eruv is going to be functional for one of you people. That says, that siti, if I want, yelech, then that guy is able to walk to that spot, 2,000 amot past the Eruv. Lo that siti, if I don't want for that person, lo yelech. So the Gemara explains, ratzam mebe'od yom Eruv o Eruv, meaning if he designates the guy before Ben Hashem Hashot, meaning he tells the guy, you're the guy, so then already certainly that guy knows that it's his Eruv and to be able to carry. Mishahashecha in to walk, not carry, walk, correct. Mishahashecha in Eruv o Eruv. But let's say the guy designates the Eruv after it gets dark. And he says, it's 10 o'clock at night, and he comes along and says, alright, this Eruv is going to be for fellow number two. In Eruv o Eruv. Now, why in Eruv o Eruv? Because obviously you're not going to use the principle of Berira. If you would use the principle of Berira, I would say at 10 o'clock at night, when he decides that he wants the Eruv to be functional for man number two, I'll say retroactively when he put it down, it was put down for man number two. From the fact that he doesn't say, and the fact that he says once he puts it at night, in Eruv o Eruv, that means what? No Berira. And we're talking about a case of Eruv Tehumin. Eruv Tehumin is the Rabbanan. So we see a statement that says what? En berira afilu bidrabbanan. Beautiful. So Rava brought this statement to Rav Nachman. I said, could you tell me who the author of this statement is? Which Tana is this? Because it's a nameless braita. So we wonder, who's the author? Ishtik velo amar le velo midi. Rav Nachman didn't say anything. He didn't know. He didn't have an author for this. So the Gemara says, why does he know the author? Which means, what do you mean? What's your question? Didn't we have a statement above of Ayyo? And Ayyo quoted Rabbi Yehuda by the case of Eruv Tehumin that said, if the rabbis are deciding to come, rabbis come on both sides, you cannot decide on Shabbat what side you're going to go to, because we don't say Berira. So we found already a Tana. The Tana from Ayyo's yeshiva. He's the one that holds what? And Berira from the Rabbanan, which means, Rav Nachman, when they brought you this statement and they said, do you have a name for it? He should have said, yeah, this is from Ayyo's yeshiva. How come he didn't know that? So the Gemara says, Gemara answers, lo shamiyale. He didn't hear it. Rabbis learn a lesson over here that the Amoraim did not have to be fluent in every braita. Every Mishnah they had to know. But the braita thought some of them they knew, some of them they didn't know. So therefore when the Nachman kept quiet and didn't have an author for that statement, and the fact that he didn't say, oh, that's probably Ayyo, no problem. He didn't know that braita of Ayyo. Very good. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Amar, Tanae Shakalt Me'alma? Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, what? You ran out of Tanaim in the world? Which is just struggling to find who the author of En Ben Adam Banan. You don't know the Tanaim. What? There's no Tanaim. You took out all the Tanaim from the world? Tanae! Look at Tanaim. We have this case already. How? The Tanya. We have a Braita. Hareni Me'arev Neshabbatot Shel Kol Hashana. A guy comes along and says like this. I want to set my Eruv once to be functional for the entire year. How? He'll go, let's say, to the east. He puts his food there. He does his thing. And he says, I want it in a secure place, obviously. And he says, I want that Eruv to be functional as I want it. Meaning, every Erev Shabbat, he'll come along and decide if the Eruv is functional or not. I don't want to every week have to walk 2,000 amah to put the bread. So he goes once. He puts his Eruv over there, and he says, when I want it to work, it'll work. And when I don't want it to work, then I want to be like a regular resident of the city where I can walk to each side. So the Gemara says, Ratziti ilech, when I want the Eruv to function, it'll work. Lo ratziti, lo ilech. Now, Ratzame be'od yom, Erubo Eruv. So long as he designates it Friday afternoon, then the Eruv will kick in for that Shabbat. Mishahashecha. Oh, but once it gets dark, now it's Friday night, you know what? I want the Eruv. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Erubo Eruv. Rabbi Shimon says it's good, because he'll say Berera. Meaning he'll say, at 10 o'clock at night when you say, I want the Eruv this week, we'll say retroactively when you put it down, the Kavanah was for this Shabbat. And that can say, no. So what do we see over here? We found the opinion of Hachamim that say, in Erubo Eruv, Eruv is a Drabbanan, and they do not hold of Berera. That answers the question. Rava asked Rav Nachman a question. Who's the opinion that says, Bidrabbanan, in Omrim Berera? So Rav Yosef comes along and says, what, Hasir Tanaim Ba'olam? We have to, Shita the Hakamim. Clearly the Hakamim say, if you made it Mishah HaShecha, in Erubo Eruv, because there's no Berera, and Eruv Tarim is the Rabbanan. So we found your opinion. It is the Rabbi's opinion. So the Gemara says, oh, says, what are you talking about? We learned in the Mishnah of Terumah that the Rabbi Shimon held in Berera. He said you can't go with the floating Terumah because of in Berera. So how could you tell me now that when it comes to the case of Eruv, he holds Yesh Berera? So we have a contradiction to Rabbi Shimon. Gemara says, Kasha did Rabbi Shimon and did Rabbi Shimon.
We have a contradiction.
Contradiction. Gemara's answer, Ela Ipuch. So Gemara says, fine. Switch that statement. Meaning, make Rabbi Shimon, in the case of the Eruv, to say in Eruv or Eruv, and Hakamim will say Eruv or Eruv, and therefore Rabbi Shimon is consistent in Berera. So that's the first way we're going to answer the contradiction. Basically, the Gemara is going to give us four ways to answer this contradiction. That's what we're going to be involved in until the end of this daf. Four ways how to answer the stira between the Bishimon by Terumah that clearly says En Berera, to the Bishimon by Eruv that sounds like he said Yesh Berera. First answer, Ipuch. Switch the Bishimon by Eruv to make him that the Eruv is not Eruv Mishah Asecha, because you don't go retroactively, and therefore you have peace between the statements. So the Gemara says, "My kasha, what's the question? Why do you have to do that?" Dilma kilet le Rabbi Shimon berera b'deoraita, aval b'drabanan itle berera. Which is like, maybe I can make a much more simpler hiluk without changing any statements. I could say sometimes Rabbi Shimon holds a berera, sometimes he doesn't. When it's a deoraita law like terumah, then he'll be mahmir and say, let le berera. When it's eruv law, which is the Rabbanani, will say, yes berera. So there's an answer. There's one answer how to reconcile the two statements. I could say, terumah en berera, deoraita. Eruv, yes berera, the Rabbanan. Gemara says, how come Rabbi Yosef didn't say that? Because right. Kasabar Rabbi Yosef, man di it le berera, lo shena bedeoraita, lo shena bedrabanan, itle.
Uman deletle berera. Lo shina bedeoraita velo shina bedabanan letle.
The Mishnah says it's all or nothing. Meaning, the one that holds berera, it's the oraita in the cases and in the Rabbanan case. And the one that doesn't hold the berera, it's in all the cases as well. Therefore, you can't make a chiluk and tell me, b'deoraita en berera, b'drabanan yesh berera. Ela, what are you going to have to say according to Rabbi Yosef? You're going to have to make an ipuch. You're going to have to say, Rabbi Shimon holds by tiruma en berera. And by the case of Eruv, switch it to make him also in berera. So that's the second answer. The first answer was, make a chiluk between the oraita and the rabbanan. Mm-hmm. Second answer, no. Make the ipuch and keep everything according to the Mishimon in berera, whether it's a the oraita case or a the rabbanan case. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava gives a third answer. Shani hatam deba'inan reshit sheshirea nikarin. So like this. Really, I'll tell you, Rabbi Shimon holds yesh berera. So then why in the terumah case does he say in terumah, to terumah? Nothing to do with berera. Different principle. By the case of terumah, the Torah says, the terumah is called reshit. The item that you are taking out is reshit, that's the first. Yeah. So he learns the Rasha, he says, your terumah that you take out has to be discernible. It has to be noticeable. Meaning that there has to be something that is clearly left over. Shishireha nikarim. Meaning when I take terumah, let's say, I have a pile of fruit. I take in one fruit terumah. The leftovers are obviously noticeable. In this case over here, the terumah is floating. At the end, now the terumah stands alone. But at the time that I designated the terumah, it's all together. There's nothing that's non-terumah that's noticeable. Meaning it's all just somewhere inside. So he goes like this. Really, yesh berera. In the case of the terumah case, really, it should work. But we have a technicality by the laws of terumah that taking terumah in such a way does not fit into the guidelines, not a berera. Doesn't fit into the guidelines of terumah. Because terumah, you have to take it in a way where it's discernible, where you took the terumah and the remnants are noticeable. In this case, where it's just floating, it's everywhere. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye tells Rabba ila mehata, Hayu lefanav shne rimunim shel tebel. A guy had in front of him two pomegranates of tebel, meaning he didn't take terumot and ma'asrot. The Amar, and he said, Im yirdu geshamim hayom. He said, if it rains today, yehe ze teruma al ze. Let pomegranate number one be the teruma for pomegranate number two. V'im lo yirdu geshamim hayom, and if it doesn't rain, yehe ze teruma al ze. Let pomegranate number two be teruma for number one. You can do that. Which means I can take all pomegranate as teruma for a different item that was the non-tithed. So guys, make a condition. If it rains, so one will be teruma for two. If it doesn't rain, two will be teruma for one. So the Gemara says, Hachename ben yardu ben lo yardu de'en bedvarav klum. Are you going to say over here also that whether it rains or doesn't rain, it doesn't mean anything because of the principle that you're telling me? It has to be noticeable. Here, they're both pomegranates. It's not clearly defined which one is his terumah, which means if it rains, let it be this one. If it rains, you're going to tell me that in this case also, it's not discernible enough which his terumah is and which is the remnant. And therefore, you're going to tell me in this case, terumah doesn't work? If you can tell me, yeah, in this case, terumah doesn't work, we learned in the Mishnah, terumah takri hazeh umasirotav betocho. You have a case of a pile of wheat. It's in a bundle. And you come along and say, terumah takri hazeh, the terumah of this bundle, umasirotav betocho. You say that the maaser and the terumah is going to be where? In the bundle. utrumat ma'aser ze betocho. Or you have, let's say, a pile of ma'aser rishon, and you come along and say the ma'aser min the ma'aser is in the bundle. Rabbi Shimon Omer kara Hashem. Rabbi Shimon clearly says it is considered terumah, which means, how could you tell me that Rabbi Shimon's logic, by the case of terumah, when it's floating, is because you have no remnants that are discernible, right? Because it's floating in the, you don't know exactly what's terumah and what's not terumah, but the Mishnah clearly says, if you have a pile, and you come along and say, terumah is in it, or you say, ma'asir mina ma'asir is in it, it works. It's not discernible, it's somewhere in there.
So Gemara answers, no. Shani hatam di'ika sibibav.
It is discernible. Because when you have a pile, and he says the terumah is inside, well, where is it not? It's not on the outside. So clearly you have a discernible part that is non-terumah or non-ma'asir. So the pile case is good. Because when he says, I want it to be inside, we don't know where inside it is. But we definitely know it's not the outer side of the pile, of the mound. That's considered shireha Nikarim. But in the case of the floating terumah, where's the terumah? It's everywhere. It's just floating throughout the, somewhere in the, you don't have a part that's definitely discernible as non-terumah. So therefore, let's review Rava's answer. Rava's answer is as follows. We have a statement by terumah that says, if he says that the terumah is floating in here, en terumah to terumah. Why? Not because he doesn't hold the berera. He holds the berera. But you have a technicality that terumah doesn't work this way. Why? Because the non-terumah part is not recognizable. When you take terumah, you have to separate from something. You have to take the terumah and leave over non-terumah. In the way you separate it as it's floating inside the barrel, you do not discern the non-terumah part. But if Mishnah says you can do it by a pile, yes, because a pile that you say you want terumah to be inside somewhere, at least you discerned the outer part of the pile is not considered terumah. So that's the way we're going to answer. Fourth answer. Kediktani ta'ama. Different reason. Amru lo l'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon argued on Rabbi Meir in that Mishnah of terumah. Rabbi Meir says the terumah is terumah. So we have a statement that says Rabbi Yosef told Rabbi Meir, aren't you concerned that maybe the barrel will break? And therefore you're going to drink tevel retroactively? Which means Rabbi Shimon told him like this. Even let's say you can take terumah in this way. Let's assume you can. So your terumah is floating in there. When does the terumah really separate? The last 2% is you're considering your terumah. Let's say the barrel breaks before that. Comes out you never gave your terumah. Comes out all that you drank until that point is tevil. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef holds like this, really, yes, berera. Meaning, and I'll tell you, the terumah should be a terumah, but it's a gezerah over here. The reason why it doesn't work in this case is shema yibaka hanod. And if the barrel breaks, you might have eaten, right? Terumah, tevel, I'm sorry, lemafleya. So that's what they told Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef told Rabbi Meir, hey, how could you say it's kosher in this case? Aren't you suspicious that the barrel might break? So what did Rabbi Meir answer? Amar lahen l'chshibaka. That, when it breaks. Meaning, I don't suspect that. When it breaks, it breaks. If it breaks, you're right. That's what I don't have to suspect that it's going to happen. Now, the Gemara says one more point. Ulmai de salika dati meikara de bainan de sheet shishire hanikarin maika amrile. According to the other answer that held, Rabbi Yosef's reason why it doesn't work was not because he's worried that it might break the barrel, but because the terumah is not a terumah because she did not leave a discernible non-terumah. If that's his reason, so then what was he talking to Rabbi Meir about breaking of the barrel? Which means his reason was nothing with breaking of the barrel. His reason was, it's not terumah because of En Shireh HaNikarim. So that conversation that he had with Rabbi Meir, how did it go? So the Gemara says, "Hachi ka amarde." This is what he told him. Ledidan ba'inan reshit shishire anikarim. Listen, we hold this out of terumah because the terumah has to be discernible from the non-terumah. That's what we hold. Ledidach I atab. Ledidach, according to you, that doesn't hold of that. Fine. So you want to say the terumah would be considered the terumah, but for another reason, you should say that it's not good. Don't you suspect that the barrel might break? And therefore you're going to be drinking tevelim retroactively. I said when it breaks. So it comes out. We have four answers how to answer the stira between the bishimon of terumah to the bishimon of Eruv. Let's review the answers. Answer number one, De'oraita de'rabbanan. In De'oraita cases like Teruma, he'll say in Berera. And in the Rabbanan cases like Eruv, he'll say Yesh Berera. Answer number two of Rabbi Yosef, there's no Hiluk. If you hold in Berera, it's across the board, Ben De'oraita, Ben De'rabbanan. And we'll have to ipuch the statement of Eruv to make Rabbi Yosef saying in Eruv or Eruv. Third answer, Rabbi Yosef holds Yesh Berera. But what? The reason why by Terumah he said it's not good is because you need Shireh HaNikarim. You need a Terumah that's taken that leaves a non-Terumah discernible. However, in the case of the Kri, of the pile, it'll be good Terumah. Because since you put the Terumah in the pile somewhere, at least the outer part remains non-Terumah. It is discernible. Fourth answer, he holds the reason why Terumah doesn't work in that case, not because of En Berera, really, Yesh Berera. But he suspects that the barrel might break before you get to the end. And therefore you're drinking Tevel Lemafreya. And to that he told Rabbi Meir, aren't you suspicious of that? He said,